Hi, I'm Jason Vallett with Vallett Packing House in Enid, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Cattle feeders are getting very strong prices for their animals. Unfortunately, that's not translating to big profits. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Allowing certain tax provisions to expire could cost farmers and ranchers. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have that story coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Texas Rolling Plains winter wheat is looking rather good at this point in the season. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and we'll go to that region of the state on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Tuesday was National Ag Day, and the celebration is continuing all this week. Thousands of students across Texas are learning more about agriculture through the Ag Literacy Week book program. Jordan Bartles oversees educational outreach for the Texas Farm Bureau.
The Ag Literacy Week book program runs during the week of National Ag Day. With this program, we provide a free copy of a book that we select, a corresponding educator's guide. We TEKS align that guide, so it's very valuable for the Texas public school teacher. This educator's guide includes a plethora of activities for the teacher to incorporate into the classroom to really help students understand and connect food production and growing food to topics and subjects that they're learning in their classroom.
And the program is the perfect tie-in with National Ag Day.
With it being National Ag Day and celebrating that all week, our goal is that we want students to understand how important agriculture is and that the role it plays in getting food on their tables every day, the clothes that they wear, and even the fuel that's in the cars that they drive. And so we feel that by running this program during the same week as National Ag Day, that we're really helping students understand, like, wow, this is a day we need to celebrate because it's so important to our well-being and to our life each and every day.
Bartle says the program is reaching over 93,000 students across the state in 2,400 classrooms. The area of Texas impacted by drought has risen slightly.
According to the Texas Water Development Board, 24% of the state is impacted by moderate or worse drought. That is up 1 percentage point from the week prior and is 20 percentage points lower than this time 3 months ago. Only 1.97% of the state is in extreme drought right now. It remains in far west Texas and in south Texas in Kendall, Kerr, and surrounding counties. The state is currently free of D4 or exceptional drought. The U.S. Drought Monitor estimates that around 33,000 Texans are in an area impacted by drought. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Corn and sorghum planting here in Texas right on pace this year. Right now, 34% of the corn crop is in the ground. That's just one tick above the 33% five-year average pace. Sorghum now 27% planted, a couple of points ahead of the 25% five-year average. The latest wheat crop ratings are out. Wheat up just a couple of points in the good to excellent category here in Texas. Right now, we've got 46% of the wheat rated good to excellent, 35% rated fair, and 19% of the Texas wheat crop rated poor to very poor. Cattle feeders are getting very strong prices for their animals, but James Hunt tells us that doesn't translate into big profits.
Things are pretty tough right now for area feed yards. Brady Miller of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association says fed cattle on the cash market have been selling for about $1.86 a pound recently, but cattle feeders in general are in the red.
We're losing $200, $250 per animal at one of the highest prices that we've ever seen in the history of the cattle market.
The estimated losses Miller gave us are with everything calculated on a cash basis. Now, as we've talked about before, cattle feeders can improve their margins by playing the futures or hedging. But even with those kinds of maneuvers, Miller says making a profit remains difficult.
On a cash basis, if you were losing $200, $250 per animal on an average, yes, you can make some of that up by using risk management, but it's probably pretty hard to overcome that big of a loss.
The big issue for cattle feeders, Miller says, is the high cost of feeder cattle.
Right now, the cow-calf operator in the country, he has a leverage. After going through this drought that we went through here the last couple of years and the reduction of the cow herd.
But there is good news. Miller says margins for cattle feeders are on track to get better over the next few months thanks to lower feed cost bringing down cost of gain.
If you look at cattle being placed today with the feeder prices that they're paying today on average, and you look at the cost of gain and you tie all that in, the cattle that you're placing today are setting at pretty close to a break even. So cattle leaving the yard today is losing $200. Cattle coming in the yard is coming in with a projected break even on a cash basis.
I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Letting a tax cut expire could hurt American farm families. Jessica Domel has the story.
Letting the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire would hurt family farms, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is a comprehensive tax package enacted in 2017. Dustin Shearer, Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau, says it is important legislation for farmers and ranchers. He says it lowered taxes for most individuals as well as most businesses of every size and type, including farms and ranches. He said the legislation is important for farmers and ranchers because 98% of those operations are organized as pass-throughs, and there were specific provisions included in the bill that benefit pass-through businesses, including the broader brackets and lower rates, the enhanced estate tax exemption, and the 199A qualified business income deduction that drives more rate parity between the top rates that small businesses pay and the 21% corporate rate. A new Economic Research Service report shows that if those provisions expire, tax bills will increase for farmers and ranchers. Shearer says if nothing is done to extend those provisions beyond 2025, farmers will face well over a $9 billion tax increase in 2026 between increased income tax liability and the increased estate tax liability. According to the report, the expiration of 199A alone would see certain farms' tax liability increase by up to 20%. He encourages farmers and ranchers to do research or talk to a CPA to understand how these provisions are benefiting their operation. He says once they do that, they should talk to their elected officials about what would happen if those provisions weren't extended. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Winter wheat in the Texas Rolling Plains looks very good right now. Tom Nicoletti checks in with a Rolling Plains farmer for an update.
For today's program, we go to Childress County on the Texas Rolling Plains, where Cade Wyatt is standing by. He is a farmer in that county along the Red River with Oklahoma. He grows winter wheat. And Cade, how is that winter wheat faring so far at this time?
Some of it's very late, right towards the end of our time period there where we plant for insurance purposes. It's coming on late, but some of the earlier wheat, some of it is grazed, but some of it's looking very good and has really taken off, has had the moisture that it needed this winter, and it's looking very good right now. We're hope that we can continue the rainfall to finish that crop out.
Yes, and of course, spring is about to go in full bloom, and so hopefully springtime rainfall will help you, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. In our country, things can turn around for the good or for the bad in a hurry, but we hope to continue the moisture and to have a very abundant crop.
You're certainly several months away from harvesting that wheat. You're grazing it with your cattle right now?
We have. We've pulled off now of all of our wheat that we're going to combine. We've pulled off in the last week, and those are going to market. They're so big. They've had such a good gain, probably one of our best gains on cattle for the wintertime in a long time. And so they're at the sale barn waiting to be sold this week, and we are moving forward with combine. Wheat.
A good portion of Texas has been in the El Nino weather pattern for a few months. So since January 1st until now, about how much precipitation have you received in the form of either rainfall or snow? And how does that compare to, let's say, last year over that same time period?
We had actually a pretty good snow for our area back there at the 1st of February, and we've had several rain events. But I'd say we're over 4 inches of precipitation for this year for those months, which is very much more than has been the last 2 years at this time.
That is Cade Wyatt. He is a farmer in Childress County. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Turf grass is an important part of landscapes in Texas. We're going to talk about how we come out of the winter and enter the spring and make our grass grow good for the summer. Please join me, John Begno, as we talk about Texas turf grass.
And spring calving beef cows are dropping calves all across Texas. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
We're heard on over 140 great Texas radio stations. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Spring calving beef cows are dropping calves all across Texas. Dr. Bob Judd has some advice on calving problems that may crop up.
There are three stages of parturition or calving in cattle. And stage one can occur over hours or days and is the period the cervix dilates. Drovers.com indicates sometimes you will see discharge or even a mucus string, but if you see any membranes or a portion of the calf, stage two labor has begun, and this is the stage in which the calf is delivered. Membranes are not present in stage one, so if you see membranes or a portion of the calf, you need to start your clock as stage two has begun, and this helps to know when assistance is needed. You will generally notice uterine contractions and straining by the cow. However, all cows do not have significant contractions and straining, and the major cause of this is if the calf is breached or is malpositioned in some manner that the calf cannot enter the birth canal. This can lead to loss of the calf if you are waiting to examine until you see a portion of the calf. So it takes a little experience to determine when to examine these cows, but if you see membranes and the calf has not been delivered in 60 minutes for first calf heifers or 30 minutes in adult cows, get help, whether the cow is straining and contracting or not. Obviously, you watch these cows as close as you can, but it is impossible to know when every cow went into labor. And if she is not already in a pen, start moving her in that direction immediately. It is better to examine too early rather than too late, as long as you do not cause trauma to the reproductive tract, as this makes it more difficult for your veterinarian. Stage three is passing of the fetal membranes, which should occur in 12 to 24 hours.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd, and this is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Turf grass is an important part of landscapes in Texas. San Angelo horticulturalist Dr. John Begno talks about getting your turf grass off to a good start this spring.
Well, you know, the weather's kind of gets you out and wants you to work in the yard and get things going, and have to be careful when you're dealing with turf grass. You don't want to get out there and do some things like scalp it real short or maybe fertilize too early or do things that the grass is not ready for. And the turf grass in Texas usually gives you a hint of what it is ready for. And a good idea is to look at the new sprigs that are coming on these summer grasses like Bermuda and St. Augustine. And once you start seeing those, green sprigs come up and begin to show life, it tells you that the roots are probably functioning enough to absorb water and thereby absorb nutrients and take fertilizer and respond to the mowing and so forth. So once you see that green up, then you can just say, all right, I'm ready. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to get some of those old dead grass blades out of the way. I may mow it. I might rake it. I might just do whatever means I need to kind of open it up a little bit. I'm going to choose a fertilizer that's going to be appropriate for my soil and my area, and just a good general fertilizer that many parts of Texas use on this first application is like a 21-7-14, a 3-1-2. Nitrogen being the first number is responsible for new growth. You never want to overdo nitrogen because a lot of this grass is recovering from that hard cold spell we had last winter. And so you don't want to overdo it. Phosphorus is important for hardiness and blooming plants, of course, which is not turf grass. And then potassium is also drought hardiness and toughness and cell rigor. So you need those three. And a lot of other stuff can be found in fertilizers, micronutrient this, micronutrient that. And unless you're in a really deep, sandy soil where when water and rain occurs, then you leach all those nutrients out, you probably don't need all those micronutrients. They're available through decomposing grass. So remember that. If you don't catch your grass clippings, it's a lot like fertilizing. Remember this. If you're catching your grass clippings, those grass clippings don't decompose and provide nutrients for your soil as well as your growing grass. If you go ahead and allow those, and because you mow frequently, allow those grass clippings to fall, in most cases, you're going to see probably a thicker, more dense turf and a healthier turf grass as well as a healthier soil. This is John Bagno reporting for Texas Ag Today from San Angelo.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to TexasFarmBureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to TexasFarmBureau.org to donate.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our markets wrapped up on Wednesday. We saw mostly lower prices across the board in just about every commodity. We'll kick things off with a look at the cattle complex. We closed slightly lower on both live and feeder cattle. April live cattle dropped 25 cents, 187.80. The June down 22, 184.77, with August live cattle down 32, 183.70. Same thing on feeder cattle. March feeders down 42, 250.25. April down 15, 254.92, with May feeder cattle down 12, 258.80. Still waiting on cash fed cattle trade to develop this week. We do have asking prices coming out of the Southern Plains here in Texas at 188 to 190. In the north, feedlots asking 190 live, 305 dressed. Boxed beef was lower, choice down 28 cents at 312.94. Select down $1.68, 301.50. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Gary Butler, Nixon Livestock. Gary, how was your Monday sale?
I had a pretty good sale again, Larry. We didn't wind up with 552 heads, 64 cows, 11 bulls. Looked like head market might have been a little softer in places on the light cattle. 2 and 3 weight steers, 287 to 380. Heifers, 274 to 3 1/4. 3 and 4 weight steers, 290 to 435. Heifers, 277 to 3 1/4. 4 and 5 weight steers, 284 to 365. Heifers, 255 to 298. 5 and 6 weight steers, 257 to 305. Heifers, 235 to 278. 6 and 7 weight steers, 241 to 258. Heifers, 2 1/4 to 280. 7 and 8 weight steers and bull yearlings, 211 to 248. And the heifers are 202 to 224. Slaughter cows got $1.38 for the best slaughter cow. pack of bulls $1 to $1.56. Stocker cows $7.50 to $1,900. Had a few pairs $12.52 to $29.50.
Good. Do we know anything for next week yet?
I don't know of any coming next week, Larry. It's a little early to tell right now, but I imagine we're gonna. I think this thing's gonna slow down a little bit on the numbers. I think we'll have anywhere from that 500 to 900. Of course, we had a little rain this weekend. Might have slowed things up a little bit. So we'll have anywhere from 500 to 900, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Gary, tell everybody how to contact you, please.
You can catch us here at Sale Barn, 830-582-1561 or 62. Catch me on mobile, 830-857-4330, Larry.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And neighbor, thank you too for listening to Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network every Monday through Friday. Gary Butler was my guest today. We'll find somebody to do tomorrow, but we hope you come back and see us. Good day.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. Our lean hogs finished lower. April hogs dropped 52 cents, 85.30. May hogs down 97 at 90.97. Class 3 milk was lower. March milk down a penny, 16.45, 100 weight, with April milk down 17, 16.12, 100. Cotton closed lower, triple-digit losses on those old crop contracts. Speculators who pushed those contracts sharply higher a few weeks ago are now getting out of those long positions and some actually going short. So that is pressuring prices, with the May contract dropping 116 points, 92.18. July cotton down 100 points at 92.12. New crop December cotton down 20, 83.80 cents. Another day of practically no movement in the corn market. Nothing to really talk about, nothing to really move the market either way. May corn was down a half, 439 a bushel. July corn unchanged, 452 and a quarter, with September corn up a half, 461 and a half. After 2 days of gains, the wheat market pulled back a bit on both hard and soft wheat. Russia continuing to undercut everyone on the world market, so that's going to keep a lid on any gains that we see in the wheat market. May Kansas City wheat down 2 1/4, 580 and a half. New crop July down 1 3/4, 573 and 3/4. Soft wheat in Chicago, July contract down 7 at 560 and a quarter. In the energy markets, April natural gas down a nickel at $1.69. April West Texas crude oil down $1.63. 81.84 a barrel. The financial markets higher. The Dow up 366 points, 39,476. The NASDAQ up 189 at 16,356. The S&P up 40 at 5,219. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.